Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing, so on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. This is how God designed His creation. It was to glorify Him. And for 6 days, He had created out of nothing everything. And its response to His work was to give Him glory. And it did, initially. The vast universe, filled with uncountable galaxies, displayed the breadth of His canvas. No space was beyond His reach. The blazing stars, they displayed His strength, His might. For who other than Him could ignite these balls of flame and keep them burning for thousands of years? And the earth and all that was contained within displayed the perfectiveness of His harmony. For each plant, each animal, the ground, the sky, they all worked in cooperation to support and to nourish each other. And man was created for one purpose. The theologian John Piper once explained our purpose this way. And I quote, "Man was created from the beginning in God's image, that he might image forth God's glory. He was to multiply and fill the earth so that the knowledge of the glory of God would cover the sea." You see, we were created to display God's glory so that it would be praised. And ever since the fall of man into sin, people have refused to align themselves with this divine goal. And instead, they've sought to replace it with their own. "Come, let us be like God, knowing good and evil. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top reaches the heavens. Come, let us make a name for ourselves. Come, and let us serve two masters, God and money." And where has that gotten us? This is where it's gotten us. This is who we have become. This is the world that we made for ourselves. But this is also the world in which Jesus enters. A world that refuses to glorify Him, but a world that He still seeks to save. It's a world where God's desire has not changed. He still wants His creation to display His glory. But He first must destroy the sin that fights against that desire. And that sin exists throughout the world. And that sin exists in you and in me. And through these sinful eyes, we see so often, we look out into the world so often, and we wonder, is there anything left of creation that glorifies Him? Is there anything out there, anything at all, that remains evidence of God's glory? The world would answer no. And the world would be boastful, proudful even of that answer, because the world would have then replaced God with happenstance. And the faith of the Christian is shaken. And more locally, schools are opening. They've begun their new year, and we send our children to them for worldly education. But we also know that this education competes with God's design. For our children learn not to glorify Him, but to glorify themselves. And they will be taught the knowledge and the wisdom of the world. And the faith of our children will be shaken. This is the world in which Jesus entered. He entered into a creation shaken by Satan, destroyed by sin, and took upon himself all that rebelled against God, all that obscured man's view of God's desire. And he suffered the punishment on our behalf. But yet we still see the brokenness. The images you just saw took place after his death and his resurrection. So what are we to make of it? Paul responds in his letter to the Hebrews that Pastor just read. And starting in verse 18, this is what he says. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels and festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You have come into the presence of God. Your gathering in this place is not out of fear like those in the time of Moses when they trembled and when they hid. No, you gather in this place. You come to meet Jesus with open eyes and outstretched arms because you know what the world around you is doing. You know what sin is doing, and you know what Jesus has done. The foundation of your faith may be shaken daily, but you come to this place to meet Him who has rescued you, and to cling to His promises of forgiveness and salvation. And you receive the gifts of baptism and communion because you need an unshakable place to set your feet. And Paul continues in his letter, starting in verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We have come into the presence of God. We have gathered in this place because we know that we need him. The world needs him. And so we come not just on our own behalf, but on the world's behalf. We gather together as God's people, just like they did in the time of Moses, to offer our pleas and to offer to him our thanksgiving. We gather not out of obligation, but because of what he offers us. He offers us strength to overcome another day. He offers us reassurance that he holds all things together, even when it seems it's all falling apart. We gather because he offers grace and mercy to each of us, and we need that. And we gather because we can't stay away. We gather because we know that one day, through him, all things will be made new. We gather because we know that one day, all that can be shaken will be removed. Our faith, our hope, our trust, all that currently comes under the influence of sin in this world will be removed. And what will remain will be God and his glory and our praise. And we gather because we long for that day. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Please pray with me. From new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. Lord, hasten the day when you come again in glory and make all things new. For though we love to meet you here in this place, we look forward to the day when we shall stand face to face and give glory to God together for all eternity. In your name we pray. Amen.